Hey, thanks for downloading the show. This is Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. I am your host. It's an eclectic mix of home improvement, cooking, gardening, how-to, DIY. It's me and my friends talking about what we think are interesting. I hope you find it as well. And today I have one of my best friends, Rick, here. Hey, sir.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Eric. I'm good morning, Rick. That's me.
Here's my friend Rick.
good morning, Eric.
We just had to re-record that, and I can't keep a straight face because of something Rick said.
good morning, Eric. Things are both hunky and dory here. How are you?
I'm not bad. I thought I'd be losing my mind at this point, having to be stuck at home, and doing much better. I had kind of a point there where I felt overwhelmed and like, oh, and then I've kind of gotten better. And then I thought, well, let's do a podcast and see what we're all up to.
Well, I'm glad you called. This is perfect for me. I mean, introverts will inherit the earth.
And, yes.
I've got this made. I don't go out anyway. I don't see many people. And so my life has not changed at all.
Mine has quite a bit. So.
Yeah. Well, you're more social than I am, too. Plus, you know, you got things to keep running, a lot of balls to keep in the air.
You know, in this time of where we're stuck at home, you think that I would be more up on my email inbox?
Yeah.
And I am not. So.
Oh.
Rick knows this, but if you meet me, it's my attention span is about 3 seconds long. It's like a squirrel. And I get emails from people that watch the show or listen to the podcast or both. And sometimes they fly right by in the inbox. And sometimes I see them and I'm like, oh, I want to take time to write a nice reply. And then I forget.
You know, I'm
just scanning the emails. I'm like, okay, that's garbage. That's garbage. Oh, that's a nice one. I'll reply back to that later. And then a whole nother bunch of emails come in, usually a bunch of junk and people wanting me to review their LED light bar, you know, for free.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I got a note from Jim, who has since become a patron. And it's a really touching letter. I was just like, I got it March 21st and I read it yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote him back. I said, Jim, did I ever reply? And he goes, no, you didn't. But it made me feel so much better. So I thought I'm going to kind of read some sentences, not the whole thing, because it was a really nice letter. But anyway,
let me ask you something though.
Yeah.
Do you ever just get an email or a letter gets so old that then you're embarrassed to answer it? That's what happens to me. I'll look at it and I'll say, I want to do something nice. I'll put this away, and then it gets so old, it's like, you know, gee, they're going to think, you know, what are they going to think of me if I answer this now? Because their question was about spring planning and we're already in winter or something.
I think they're going to feel better because, like, I'll email someone and I don't hear back. And I'm like, oh, why aren't they emailing me back? You know, or I'll think, because I use a shared email server. I don't have a Gmail address. A lot of times my emails can get blackballed by corporate servers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, maybe it got blackballed, or maybe I had too many images in it, so it was flagged as spam. And actually, one of my best friends from childhood emailed me, and I haven't talked to him in years, and he's like, hey, I just wondered how you're doing. And me being the overshare, I sent back this giant email with all sorts of pictures, and then I never heard back from him.
And so, you overwhelmed him.
Of course. And so in a week later, I emailed him and said, hey, I sent you some pictures. Just want to make sure that it didn't end up in your spam folder. And he says, oh, no, I got it. I've just been really busy with work. And I wanted to, on the weekend, write you back. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and then it was fine. So I think you should, even if it's 6 months later, the first thing I do is like, holy cow, I completely blanked on this. And I'm very sorry for that. And then I think that actually makes people feel better. It realizes everyone is human, and they've probably made this. Not everyone replies. No one's perfect, and life isn't perfect. And far be it that Garden Fork is perfect. So,
well, but if you want to get Eric's attention with an email, just Venmo $10 to him while and then put your comments in the, you know, in the comment section, and he'll answer immediately.
I actually don't have Venmo. Some people have tried to pay me with Venmo, and I'm like, just cash, you know.
Oh.
Anyway,
it's untraceable.
Let's read.
You're beginning to sound like the mob. Okay, it's not Rick's letter. Whose letter is it from?
It's from Jim.
Okay, Jim.
Hi, Eric. My name is Jim. I've been a subscriber of your YouTube channel as well as your podcast channel since the beginning. Wow. And he goes on to saying some nice things. And he says, that being said, I thought it was high time to give back. I've always felt honored to be part of your Garden Fork community, and I wanted to volunteer to contribute in many ways. So he became a Garden Fork patron, a monthly supporter.
Wow.
And he goes on to say, I'm also grateful for the friends who contribute to your show. Like many have said, including you, Garden Fork is like getting together with friends.
Well, it is.
Yeah. The people you've surrounded yourself with have a wealth of knowledge and encourage all of us to be better. Since we can't host a dinner party during these uncertain times, please note that you've started a wonderful community that will help all of us keep our sanity, have a laugh, and great food for thought. Bravo, sir. And that was from Jim.
Wow. You know, the last person that said they'd been with us from the very beginning was incarcerated. And so I'm so glad Jim got out. Thanks so much, Jim.
I actually had I can't share that story about incarceration. So, but I read that and yesterday my jaw just dropped and I'm like, and I just hit the reply button. I'm like, Jim, did I ever reply to you? And he was like, no, but he was very gracious.
Isn't that nice?
So that kind of makes your day. Cause since we have to be stuck at home, which I wanted to talk about a little today, it's been kind of some highs and lows, and I've managed to improve myself over the weeks we've been here. So,
excellent.
You know, there were a couple. It's kind of a hot mess of a show. We thought we'd talk about Yellow Jackets and Hornets and getting rid of junk and my 1% to infinity thinking, transplanting plants, and the live stream I did the other day.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that.
I actually got an email from a regular emailer fan, and he's like, Eric, I watched your live stream after the fact, which you can do on YouTube. He goes, I couldn't watch it. He goes, you're always saying hello to people, and I don't know who they are. And so when you do a live stream, there's the right-hand side of the screen is just a deluge of comments from people. And unfortunately on YouTube, you usually have to have somebody, thankfully Will Wallace did it, is pull out the spammers. But it's just everybody saying hello. And there's like 250 people watching the live stream, which is very spontaneous. But it was so fun to see names of people I'd recognize from comments or from being in the Garden Fork Facebook group or the email list. So as I'm talking to everyone watching, I'm like, oh, hey, Monica. You know, and I guess after the fact, that isn't nearly as much fun to watch.
So. Well, but it made Monica feel good. And she yeah. bothered to tune in. And so that's maybe live streams are best just kept live.
There are some people that delete their live stream afterward. And I thought I'd leave it up in case people wanted to watch. So about 1,200 people watched the thing after the fact. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it is. No kidding.
I'm going to text Aunt Monica, but she has a sourdough starter that she put a time lapse video on the Garden Fork Facebook group, discussion group, and it's pretty cool. So she's doing some fun stuff while she has her three kids and three dogs. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. My room I'm in now, my office, I guess you call it, I keep my sourdough in here to remember to feed it and whatnot. And it just blew the top off my the bottle that I had it in, and is running down the sides. And so it's, I think it's coming for me, but I'm keeping one eye on it.
Well, we're gonna get Monica on and we'll talk about that. So on the Facebook group, there was Elizabeth asked, is there anything that keeps yellow jackets and hornets away? And I was wondering, did she mean from her yard or the garden or probably both? What do you think?
Well, first, if you're a gardener, particularly yellow jackets, hornets are a little iffy because they can be really super aggressive. Yellow jackets are not aggressive unless you bother them. And both are extremely powerful natural predators in your garden. So if you're growing tomatoes or squash, that kind of thing, that attract worms of different sizes that morph into squash bugs or whatever, you know, yellow jackets will fly in there among your tomatoes and your squash and pick out those worms and carry them off to eat them, because they are carnivores, like and so are the hornets. Bees are the honeybees are the herbivores of the that particular branch of insects. And so if you can leave them alone, particularly yellow jackets, if they're in a place that's not going to get in your way, you don't have to walk by it all the time, I'd certainly leave yellow jackets alone. Let them do their thing. They'll leave you alone. Hornets are kind of a different deal because they can be touchy, real touchy, and they can also be, they sting. Unlike bees, which can sting you once and then they die, hornets and wasps can sting you multiple times, and a hornet sting is nothing to be looked forward to.
There are some wasps that will parasitize caterpillars in your garden as well.
Oh yeah, the tachyid wasp, I think it's called, lays eggs on the back of the green
tomato hornworm.
Tomato hornworm. Thank you. That's what I was going for. And if you see little eggs on the back of your tomato hornworms, don't throw that worm away. Let him stay, because that he's making more wasps. They're going to eat him up, and it really is just a wonder of nature to help you keep your tomatoes good and clean.
The one issue I have with yellow jackets is their nest is usually in the ground, and my Labradors just like to sniff around, and one of them is curious and has gotten nailed by yellow jackets.
Mm.
And that is a problem. Maybe if you find a yellow jacket nest, you could put some chicken, if you have dogs or animals, chicken wire in a circumference around it so they can still go in, but
I
not
thought
your
yellow
dogs.
Jackets built the paper wasp nest that hang down from your eaves.
There are some hornets that are kind of yellow, but a true yellow jacket burrows in the ground.
Really? Because we have what we call ground bees. I wonder if that's actually a yellow jacket. I hadn't really noticed. They can be awfully aggressive too, particularly when you run the lawnmower over them. They get really annoyed.
Right. The problem is like if you're out with a picnic in your yard and you have a sugary cocktail, that is an attractant to yellow jackets. So mm-hmm. They're going to be like, hey. There are some yellow jacket and wasp traps. If I find a wasp nest that's near one of the entry doors of my house, I will get rid of it. I use the foaming spray that you can shoot from like 20 feet away, and I do it in the evening. I don't like doing it, but if it's near a doorway, that can be a problem for my family. If it's up in the eaves of the house, I just leave it.
Yeah. I let them do their thing and try to keep things as natural around the house as I can, but sometimes you just have to get rid of them.
Yeah. I imagine by now you've heard me talk about the Garden Fork patrons and the pre-show and the after-show, and I thought I'd give you like 30 seconds of what that's all about. Basically, there are people that listen to the show that contribute to the continued production of the show. on a monthly basis, kind of like you know, like NPR or PBS, where you sign on for X number of dollars a month. Like I'm a member of PBS, and it's $6 a month. And for that, I get access to the older episodes of like Nova and their science and history shows and that kind of thing. With Garden Fork, if you sign on for $5 a month or more, if you have more, that would be quite nice. But if you don't, do not do that. Okay. But for that, I send out just kind of the Mind of Eric kind of emails that also can show up on the app if you get the Patreon app. And also the pre-show and after-show when I record a show with other people. Because invariably, Aaron and I, or Will or Rick and I, are talking about something else after the show because we forgot to talk about it in the show. And that's sometimes fun. It's really fun to listen to Rick tell me what I'm doing wrong with the show, but in a good way, because you need feedback like that. But you could also provide that feedback becoming a patron. So that information is in the show notes of today's episode. You can also go to patreon.com/gardenfork for more information about that. All right, so think about that, and we'll go back to the show. See ya. Speaking of getting rid of, I have, while we're stuck at home here, I've been making some incremental progress. And then on the weekend, it was such a nice day on Saturday, I said to the camera operator, there's a shed attached to the back of my garage. And for 15 years, it's been full of stuff I was going to do stuff with and some outdoor furniture and that. And I said, could we go through that shed, which is about 10 feet wide and 2 cars deep. So it's pretty big. And I'm like, I want to put my power equipment here, like my quad and my chipper and my my Troy Belt log splitter, my Troy Belt splitter. And they, I'm like, it all takes up all the space with the cars, and I gotta get around them with the cars. But anyway, there are all these chairs that we thought we'd do something with, or, you know, we have dinner parties, we thought people would want chairs and stuff. And we found 10 chairs that we both agreed we could get rid of. So I put them out at the end of the driveway. And I love stencils, stencil lettering. So I made free signs with cardboard. I sent Rick the picture. And I took a picture of them at the end of the driveway, put it in the local town Facebook group. And we live on a very, not a deserted road. It's a road that's not, that barely gets any traffic. And those chairs disappeared very quickly.
Really? Well, they look like they're pretty good chairs. They're straight back without arms. They're,
yeah. And I was like, just, it just felt great to get rid of stuff. And now we have some Adirondack chairs that my father-in-law made, and they're beautiful. But we don't use them in the yard a lot because we have so many bugs in the yard. It's kind of hard to sit out there. But I want to put, I want to somehow store them, but not taking up this great space that I have. And I'm trying to figure out, could I hang them off the back of the garage, or would the humidity get to them? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to store Adirondack chairs, if anyone has an idea on that.
Yeah, they don't fold too good, do they?
No, they're great, but they would be better off on like the edge of a lake or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you actually fixed up your greenhouse and made it into more of a summer house out there with lots of screen, maybe you could sit inside there.
Oh, actually, I am going to rebuild the greenhouse because it's falling apart on a daily basis. But that was kind of like a big project. But I've been also been better at this incremental thing that I've talked about before. Like I fixed the icon on my Facebook page just a few minutes ago. But if something, I look at something and I'm like we have these peonies that have volunteered in the brushy part of the yard. And I'm like, oh, I should transplant those. And I was feeling a little down, let's just say, that day. And I thought, you know, if I just start doing this, I'll just do one. And then I'll feel like I've gotten something done. And then tomorrow, I could do another one. And I started doing one. And I'm like, oh, well, this wasn't rocket science, you know. And it ended up, it only took a half an hour, and I transplanted 6 peony plants into the little garden bed we have for flowers and stuff. And then I amazingly felt better about myself. So,
you know, it's amazing just doing one little thing. Yesterday, I had a very early doctor's appointment, and I went, and I was grumpy because I didn't sleep well the night before. And I came home and I sat in my chair for a while, and I just kind of stewed. And I got up and said, you know, just go do one thing. And I went out front and I cleaned up my, what will be my tomato patch out front, and put new ground cover on it, because I plant through ground cover to keep weeds from coming up, but also to keep the soil from splashing up onto the tomato leaves and bringing with it the blight that we usually get, like it's called late blight.
Yep.
But I did that. It only took maybe an hour or so to do, and I felt really good the rest of the day. And
yay.
So, today it's raining, but as soon as it quits, I've got two. I've actually increased my beds out back. I had one kind of smallish one that was going to be okra this year, and I've added two more that I'm going to try to do some sort of row cover and grow some squash and some cucumbers in it. But I have been so demoralized. The squash beetles get me every time, squash bugs.
Yep.
And so, I'm going to try the row cover thing, see if that'll work. If I can keep them away for a while until they get strong enough, they can repel those things on them, their own or whatever. But, that's the only place in my yard where I actually have to use, something like 7-Dust is, trying to keep the squash beetles down.
They are tenacious. Actually, our house is fairly porous up here in the woods, and so there's a lot of insects that manage to get behind the storm windows to hibernate, or, you know, whatever they do in the winter, whatever insects do in the winter. And then all of a sudden, crawling, like in March and April, crawling around my house, there's squash beetles, and are they called stink beetles also?
Yeah, well, stink bugs.
Stink bugs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they are tenacious. Yikes. And a completely different tangent related to garden problems. Aaron from The Impatient Gardener and I are working with Troy Bilt this summer, and we are going to make a series of videos about garden pests and solutions for them.
Oh, excellent.
Or garden problems. I think it's more than just pests. We've had a couple of online meetings about it. And Aaron is the horticultural expert.
She is.
If you don't watch her YouTube videos, you should watch it. I watch them while I'm making dinner, and it's just chocked full of information. And she has a very big yard, but it looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, it must be huge. I mean, you saw the fenced garden they did to keep the deer out. But what amazes me about Erin is that she can pronounce all those Latin names. And, you know, as a native born son of the South, I've studied English as a second language all my life. And so I have trouble with those pronunciations. And they just rattle off her tongue just like that.
So it's theimpatientgardener.com is the website. And then just look for Impatient Gardener on YouTube. And we'll put the link in here. But yeah, just great gardening videos. And I have my neighbor, his family has always had dahlias. And he's like me, where he kind of like collects too much stuff. And he's collected too many dahlias. So last year he gave us maybe 6, and we planted them. And they're really easy to grow. You just have to pull them out. If you're in the frost states, you have to pull them out in the fall. And he's going to give us more this year because he has too many of them. And they are beautiful. And Aaron is a dahlia expert.
Oh. Well, they get huge. You know, like the size of dinner plates. So they're really an amazing plant.
And you can,
apparently easy to grow.
And you can cut one and put it in a vase and you're all set.
Set for what?
Also, part of my... 1% to infinity, trying to little stuff. I have found some elderberry bushes that have, I don't know if the word is volunteered, because I think they're native to the area here, but elderberry bushes out in the forest, in the woods, and they don't do very well there. And so I've been transplanting a few elderberry into my, along the lawn edge here, because I'm all about helping the birds. And then I've tried to do some rooting of elderberry twigs. So we're going to see what happens with that. So I stuck them in some really wet, sandy soil with some water at the bottom. We'll see what happens. Oh, but
kind of like you do with a fig tree.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We did that with a fig, and it's huge now. And I had to fight the mockingbirds for the figs out there.
All right, so I have one more thing. Do you have anything to add before we have our iTunes review readings?
Oh, well, I've got one thing here. It was an article in the Virginian Pilot newspaper. Yes, we still take the newspaper. And it says, new app turns users into bee counters. That's B-E-E, not B-E-A-N, bee count. And it's from the World Bee Count Project. And so if you search for World Bee Count Project, it's a lot like the National Audubon Society and their annual bird counts. This is learning to count bees, spend a little time in the yard, and just list off the bees that you see. And in my neighborhood, we've got black orchard bees. We have a few honeybees. We have a lot of bumblebees. And then we have, what are the wood boring kind of bees? Whatever bee that is.
It's like a bumblebee, but they burrow it by burrow into the wood. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And, if you want to help get an idea, this is a citizen science project. And if you'd like to, help out a little bit and spend some time in your yard with a purpose, without breaking a sweat. This is something you can do over a mojito as you sit there and watch your flowers grow.
They're called carpenter bees, by the way.
Carpenter bees. That's it. Although they don't build anything. I mean, if they built a nice little chair or a little table or something, all they do is they dig holes.
We have a wood roof over the front door. What's that called? A canopy, a porch thing? It sticks out from I got a center chimney colonial, you know, New England center chimney. It's a small one, but the little roof that juts out over your front door, and the part that's the inner roof, the ceiling of it, I guess, is wood. And for years we would have carpenter bees boring holes in it to lay their eggs. And I'm like, you can borrow wherever you want, but it just would freak out the dogs and people. And yeah. I'm like, I don't want to kill them. And, you know, you'd look it up and they'd like, oh, spray in there or shove a stick in the hole. And I'm like, nah. So in the winter, when it was cold, I went to one of these places there. They have old windows and doors and stuff. And I found some scrap tin roofing to seal it, you know, the pressed ceiling, tin ceiling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I cut it to fit, and I left it all kind of, you know, the paint was all scratchy and rusty, and I just stapled that up in there, and it looks old, it looks neat, and it keeps the bees from boring into the wood ceiling of the front little porch.
See? Works out every time. You know, I want to go back to the hornet question that we had a few minutes ago.
Hit the rewind button. You could have a job on Prairie Home Companion.
I might. I've always wondered what a Foley man was until I saw that. On the Facebook discussion group, Brian, and I think this is brilliant. Apparently Home Depot or the orange and the blue stores in their gardening section sell a brown, it looks like a Chinese lantern, but it's shaped like a hornet's nest. And if you hang this, it says here, in your yard, hornets are very territorial, and they will not come and build a nest near that or anywhere in the area, because that other hornet, a faux hornet, have claimed that territory. Wow. So that's another thing to think about. And it's kind of brown paper baggish looking. I got a call last year for a swarm, and I pulled up and took one look, and it was a hornet's nest, and it was almost 2 foot tall.
Wow.
In a tree. And I said, one, that's not bees, and two, I'm not going to fool with it. You know, call an exterminator. And it was in a really bad place. It was right along the walkway. And so they had to get rid of it. But they do amazing work. It's just I don't like fooling with them.
Yeah. There's a balance to seek there.
Yeah. I mean, sharks do amazing work too, and I don't want to fool with them.
Yeah. Hey, would you like more of Garden Fork or more of Eric? Would you like to get it in your email inbox? I send out, just about every week, I send out a little email about Eric's world and new stuff I posted. I even talk about podcasts I've listened to or just interesting stuff. And usually, almost always, at least one picture of the Labradors, Henry and Charlie. You can get that by signing up for Eric's Garden Fork email newsletter thing. There should be a link in the notes to this show. Just scroll down to the description of the podcast in your app, and I'm hope it's a clickable link. It should be. Or go to gardenfork.tv, and on almost every page at the top of the page should be a sign up. If you're on a mobile device, you might have to tap on there's a little menu bar, and then hopefully there it'll be a sign up, or scroll the bottom of a post and you can sign up there. Should be a link in the app here. More of Eric. It would be fun to have you along for the ride. It's kind of more brain dump Eric. Cool stuff. All right? So we have some very cool iTunes reviews. If you would like to leave a review, you can do it right from the app. Now from the Apple Podcast app on your phone. If you're looking at the Garden Fork Radio show description at the bottom is a place to do that. My voice is I'm losing my voice here because I'm talking for 29 minutes, but I'll read these, okay?
Oh, please do.
The first one is from Tony, who I know. It says, truly appreciated, 5 stars. There are few things in life that I do religiously. One, make sure to tell my family I love them every day. All that is happening in today's world only reaffirms my belief in this. Two, I treat my neighbor kindly and only the way I'd like to be treated. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Three, no matter how trying times may get, I never lose sight of my passion, that which helps keep me together and grounded. For some, it's meditation. For me, it's watercolor painting. And he has a Facebook page for his watercolors and a YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
I'll link to that here. Four, I only listen to positive, uplifting, and educational media. Over the years, the Garden Fork channel and now the podcast has slowly climbed up my list to the point that besides other artistic YouTube channels and podcasts, because he is a painter, they have become my go-to uploads to watch and listen to. I always look forward to your content, and my 3 a.m. morning commute to work wouldn't be the same without you guys. Wow.
Wow, Riz, right, 3 a.m.
Please keep up the great work, my friends. You are very much appreciated. Best regards, Tony. And he has a Facebook page with his watercolors and a YouTube channel. And he is in the Garden Fork Facebook discussion group. But he posted a video of piece of watercolor paper, I guess you call it, and him sketching it out and filling it in with the colors. And it's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, people that have that skill are just amazing to me, because even when I play hangman, my hangman doesn't look very good. So, you know, it's not artistic at all. But, you know, I do like his attitude about podcasts. And I listen to a whole bunch of podcasts just all day long, it seems like. But on Sundays particularly, and sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays, all I listen to there's one called The Story Collider. It's science. It's about people's lives in science. There's one called The Moth, of course. And I think everyone's heard of The Moth, but it's just stories with a theme told by regular people. And, you know, kind of arts and entertainment type and inspiring pieces. Every morning there is a 5-minute podcast. My mind is blanking right now, but it's just 5 minutes of poetry. Just something kind of soothing and interesting, and you know, it's a nice rhyme. And so I like to listen to that stuff, and not just the hardcore craziness that's going on around us all the time.
Yeah, I am like-minded. I can't watch the news anymore. I can't. The camera operator showed me a video clip on her phone, and I won't say who it was or anything, but I watched it, and it's a politician, and I was stunned. And I said, "Is that fake? Is that one of those fake video things?" She goes, "No, it's real." I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" I was like, "Uh-oh!" And then let's go back in my cocoon, okay?
Yeah, you know, the truth is, so little happens that's really important during the day that if you catch the NPR top of the hour news once a day, maybe twice, once in the morning, once in the evening, you know as much as you really have to know about what's going on in the world. And nothing else, you know, that you can get wrapped around the axle about all the other things going on, all these issues that, you know, you cannot do anything about. But you can control where your attention is and how it affects you. You can't, you know, in Stoicism, we say you can't control what happens. All you can do is control how you react to what happens. And one of the ways you can do that is just stop exposing yourself to craziness and pick up a little news. You know, you don't want to be ignorant. Pick up a little news twice a day, maybe 5 minutes. And that's really as much as anybody needs.
Yeah. And we need you, Rick, because the next review is all about you.
Oh, good God.
It says, "Great podcast, 5 stars from Jennifer, Ohio." So I think it's Jennifer who lives in Ohio.
Okay.
It says, "Great DIY podcast. Yay, Rick is back. Rick is back. Was getting worried about him."
He's finally out of the sanatorium.
It's actually sometimes hard to get hold of Rick, being the podcast producer and appointment maker that I am.
Well, what you forget from time to time is that you have to call me.
I know. And,
because my phone stays on Do Not Disturb 24/7.
I forget that. Then I'm like, why didn't he call me back? Why didn't he text me back?
Yeah. And so I am not attached to my phone like a lot of people are, and I'd rather be doing other things. And so I'll look at it and I'll say, boy, I should have been there 2 days ago. I would have helped you out with the you know, your live stream or you know, do the podcast you asked me about. But I'm back. I've been having a wonderful time. This is actually has been a wonderful period for me. Very productive. I'm taking a course online in literature. It's actually literature of the plague, but it's fascinating. It's really great.
Well, Jennifer is glad that you had some time today, I'm sure, for us.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Your $20 is in the mail.
We have one more from Utmeier. I wonder what that. I'm always curious about how people use the online name. Is it, did they change around the words, the letters of their name or something, you know?
Maybe it's a real name.
Could be. Best DIY podcast, 5 stars. Maybe some other people could do that too.
That's right.
Rick and guests, I have been listening to your podcast and watching YouTube videos since college. Your straightforward, go try something attitude truly inspires me to try projects around the house I would have never tried before. Also, the food videos are amazing, and I really enjoy how you show your mistakes. Not everything is perfect. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah, he's right. Not everything is perfect.
All right. So if you have a comment or a question or a thought, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. And if I don't answer you, just email me again and go, dude.
Yeah. Yep. we're busy right now. Boy, my tomatoes are sprouting. My okra is sprouting in the little grow tent that I have. I'm really getting excited for probably the first of next month. I'll put them out.
That's fantastic. I have some seed started in the basement as well. And if you want to learn about seed starting, we'll have some links in the show notes here because you can go to the Garden Fork site and learn about that. So there you go.
Okay. Right. Well, I just wanted to throw a little gardening in there because we're Garden Fork.
Thank you, everyone. Go out and do cool stuff. We'll see you later.
Talk to you later, my friend. You have a great one. Bye-bye.
Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz. You can find more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. Our theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com. Other music used in the show is used under license from audioblocks.com.